The first motive, excuse me, the first law of the paralyzed studies was the law of motive. And we studied that in an effort to answer the question, why do we pray? And we discovered that we can pray very selfishly. And we can pray for other than the glory of God. And I believe that having examined the scriptures, John 14, verse 13, and James 4, 1 to 3, that we had discovered that God would have us to pray for His eternal glory. And to ask God that He might give us that for which we pray, other things being equal, that His own name should be enhanced, that His name should be glorified through our prayer, petition, and God's answer. The second law is the law of submission. And we find this stated for us in 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. You want to make a note of it. And this is what we read in that passage. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Notice, according to His will. And if we know that He hears us, that is, if we have the assurance that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions. That is, if we know that He hears us, it's just the equivalent of already having the petitions that we desired of Him. And so I believe that the central fact or factor in those two verses is according to His will. And we're going to show this morning that this actually has to do with two things. Two things that are intimately related to the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The question may be legitimately asked, where does the believer find the will of God? It is strange how Christians, that is, professing Christians, attempt to find the will of God. Is the will of God declared to us on or in some book on the subject? Do we find it in our favorite devotional book? Is the will of God declared to us by another Christian, hoping that we will capitalize upon the precise way that the will of God was revealed to him or to her? Is the will of God found necessarily in a commentary, be it ever so valuable, on a particular book of the Bible? These are days of counseling. Every preacher seems to me wants to be a counselor. Years ago, I talked with a pulpit committee. They came asking me if I could recommend someone to them for their church. That was a good many years ago. They said there's one condition that we ask beyond the fact that this man is a Christian and loves the Word of God and can preach it, but we want to make very sure that he does not involve himself in counseling. Well, I know what they meant. Of course the preacher has to do some counseling with others. But I do believe that some have confined their work to their studies and counseled with people there rather than getting out into the homes and heart to heart with the people, meeting the family, viewing the problems as well as listening to them. Well, do we find the will of God necessarily from the lips of the counselor? Some people love to read Dear Abby. That's hardly a place to find the will of God. And, of course, I know no Christians that do this, but I do know that some people believe in God, believe in prayer, but also refuse to leave their rooms in the morning until they have read the astrological column in the newspaper. Well, now, we don't find it in the mental wanderings of the astrologist. Let me read some passages of God's Word to us. David wrote, saying, "I delight to do thy will, O God." Isn't that wonderful? "I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart." Now, David was not a perfect man. There were times when he did not do the will of God. But I do believe that David was reciting for mankind to read the fact that it was the habit of his life, the stance of his soul, to take notice of and to delight in the will of God. He failed on occasions, yes. But a man who truly loves God and fails will return to the happy land of the Scriptures and there find sustenance for his soul and forgiveness from the hand of the Father. And then we read in Psalm 43 and verse 3, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me." Isn't that strange? "Send out thy light and thy truth." Now I wonder if this might not be read, "Oh, send out thy light, even thy truth." For in the light of the Scriptures, light becomes a very blessed symbol of truth to the law and to the testimony. "If they speak not according to these things," wrote Isaiah, "it is because there is no," what? "Light in them." God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 and verse 5. "Therefore, send out thy light and thy truth," or even thy truth. "Let them lead me." Now that might lead us to believe that the psalmist made some distinction between light and truth. And I would suggest to you that there is a distinction. While light can be synonymous with truth, light involves more than truth. And so, he said, "Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Let thy truth bring me into thy presence, O God." That's just about what you say. And then he wrote in that great psalm, the acrostic psalm 119, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And then he answers the question. And I'm glad God gave us the answer, because in this day, many counselors and many schools of psychology and many attitudes toward even the will of God. We're having big books written today about the will of God. Even in this day, I'm glad we have the answer from God, because he says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Not by reading the best book on the subject. No, not a work of man, but by taking heed according to thy word. It is the word of God that cleanses the way of the young man and makes him fit for God's presence and fit for service. And then lastly, thy testimonies also are my delight. And what do you notice? And my counselors. There you are. A person says, what school of counseling do you espouse? Who is your favorite counselor? Is it so-and-so, or is it so-and-so, or is it so-and-so? I enjoy God's counsel, and so do you. I enjoy what David wrote, out of experience and out of inspiration. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Psalm 119:24. Therefore, in the light of this, to pray according to the will of God is to pray in harmony. Now watch this carefully. In harmony with the Word of God. It is to know the will of God as declared in the Word of God, generally and specifically. Sometimes the will of God may be difficult for us to find in terms that are very specific. But then, in such an hour, we definitely rely upon the whole tenor of Scripture, upon the general teaching of the Word of God. Because not only does God lead us by definite statements of action, but He leads us by the statements of moral principles. And thus we determine the will of God from the tenor of Scripture and from the precise statements of the Word of God. God's Word tells us what God can do for us. His Word tells us what He cannot do for us. And watch that. God can never give to us that which will violate His Word or which would be out of harmony with His name. So there are those things that God can do for us, those things God cannot do for us. And then there are those things which God can do, but at the moment cannot do it because our hearts are not right with Him. Oh, how much we miss in the whole circumference of prayer because our hearts are not right as we come to God in prayer. You know as well as I do that if the mechanism of your car is correct, you can turn the key and the motor will turn over. If the plumbing of the home is correct, you can turn the faucet and water will run. If the light is correct, you and I can come in the will of God and receive blessings in terms of God's answers to prayer. Now, when we say that there are those things that God cannot do for us in the light of His Word, I believe that you'll understand when I say that God cannot bless the Christian who lives in a state of defining the will of God as what he deems to be best for his life. He's not so much concerned about what God thinks is best for his life, but what he feels is best for his life. He may desire an unequal yoke in marriage, feeling that that would be the will of God, but he forgets that God has not allowed for such in the Christian life. He may want to enter into business with an unsaved man, or become a partner with others in an unsaved company, a company of men whose principles and practices are not according to the will of God. And he may even pray about these things and say, I believe it's God's will. I don't know how he can come to that conclusion, but he cuts right across the Word of God because God allows for no unequal yoke in the life of the believer. Yes, it's possible for a young woman to say, I believe that God wants me to marry that young man. Oh, is he a Christian? No, he's not a Christian. But I believe I can help him. And one girl even said to me one time, I have prayed about it, and I believe that God wants me to marry him. Well, I didn't perform the ceremony. They lived together 11 months and broke up. I say, child of God, it's very important that you and I get our instructions from the book and not from the northeast corner of our affections or our imaginations. We can talk ourselves into a great deal. We can persuade ourselves that this could serve the purposes of the Lord. We can persuade ourselves that this will enhance His work. This will be good for the work of God. This will bring in the people. And this will reach their hearts. These methods, we say, are just what the people are waiting for. We can get decidedly out of the will of God by not doing as David suggested. Namely, find our counselors in terms of the scriptures themselves. Now with that said, I'd like to go on into this thought. That there are really no fluctuating or changing standards with God. I don't know how it impresses you. Maybe someone would say it's because we're getting older in life. I don't know. But I do know this, that the principles of the Word of God do not change. But many things are changing today. Yes, habits are changing, enjoyments are changing on the part of Christians. Some believers are doing things today that they wouldn't have done 25 years ago. Some are permitting things today that they would never have permitted years ago. Children and families one day would have turned down the theater, but today they're up to their ears in it. And this is not simply in the denominational circles. This is in assembly circles. I have come in contact with so many who seem to have changed the standards. And I'm not blowing the horn for the life of an ascetic or to become like the Jewish Essenes were in Jesus' day and later. No, I believe that one can live a happy, happy life, but also live a life of separation. Separation unto the Lord. And I believe that separation is definitely part of the will of God. One cannot hold on to God in mighty prayer with one hand and hold on to compromising practices and positions with the other. We have to make a choice. The flesh would say, compromise. But the Spirit of God would urge us to a life that is secreted with God. A life that is lived in the closet with God. A life that is daily conforming to the will of God in the Word. And it's out of that life that I believe we can definitely pray with power. Now that takes me to this. And I would urge you, hold on to this principle, or it's related. Prayer according to the will of God is therefore prayer that is uttered in recognition of the fact that God knows what is best for my life. I may think I have real needs. Those needs may urge themselves upon my soul. I may even cry out in great pain of soul for God to meet this need, or to answer this prayer. We have to remember that in the believer, the flesh is still active. And unless we live a life that parallels itself to the whole of the Word, and make every effort to do that to the best of our ability, it is possible to misconstrue matters and to pray for that which is not for our best. It may even look like something we need, but it may not be for our best. I'm so glad today that I can look above and I can point Christians above to one who knows what is best for my life, and furthermore, who knows what is best for the whole body of Christ. You and I can pray for those things that would not be good for the church of God, which is His body. We can pray for those things which would not be good for our own immediate assembly. We can pray for that which might hinder other believers. We must be very cautious to pray for that which would benefit the whole blood-bought church of God. I built a fireplace one day at the end of our block. We lived in Southerton, Pennsylvania, about 8 miles from where we are now. And my little boy then was about, he was a little boy then. He was about 4 years of age, I judge, thereabouts. And he came to me after the fireplace was built, and he said, "Daddy, give me a box of matches." And I said, "What would you do with a box of matches?" He said, "I'd make a fire." I said, "That's just what I'm afraid of." And so we went out to the end of the lot, and we made a fire together. Now, I had him help me. I helped him. Very good. You see, there are some things which, if God would give them to us, might not be for the benefit of the whole body of Christ. You and I can escape certain problems and fail to be a blessing in a later day to some life. I believe today that one might suffer a loss as a Christian. He might suffer some failure as a Christian. I mean, he may lose a home, may lose a business, he may lose an opportunity to advance in employment. But way down the road, God is going to give that believer the full view of His purpose and plan. And in that day, we shall say, God's way was the best way. For while I lost back here, and I seemed to lose here, now I know what God was doing in my life. And so I pray, submissive to the will, and now notice, unto the ways of God. Now here's the scripture. I'm watching the time here. Here's the scripture, and hold on to this, please. Psalm 119 and verse 15. This leaped out of the book to me some years ago, and it says, "I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways." How about that? God's will is wonderful. And we may say, in a moment of spiritual ecstasy, "Oh God, work out thy will for my life. Work it out in all its fullness. Let me enjoy the best that you have for me." And yet not realize that sometimes the ways that God works out his will make us for the moment uncomfortable and might bring tears, and we might have a sense of loss. We can be satisfied with the will of God. The question is, are we satisfied with the ways of God? And if when we come to God in prayer, we chafe against His ways, we want His will, we want the blessing, but we don't want the circuitous route that God takes in order to bring to us His best, it may be that because we chafe against the ways of God, that we will miss much of the blessing of God in our lives and may even miss that for which we pray. The psalmist said, "I will meditate. I will think. I will chew them over. I will meditate in thy precepts," the whole of the word, "and have respect unto thy ways." Oh God, work out thy perfect will, and make me willing for the ways that thou dost choose to perfect thy will in my life, and to give me that which thou wouldst have me to possess as a believer. There lived a family in Easton, Pennsylvania. Pastor and his family. I knew them. One was a schoolmate. And very true to the Word of God. Very true. Then came the day when their son, who was on the gospel team at the Philadelphia College of Bible, was going hither and yon during the summer, holding forth the testimony in the name of the Lord and the school. And they stopped along the highway. I understand that they were rearranging some luggage or tying something to the top of the car or the wagon. And an automobile came down the road, hit this young man's head. Now, he was a bright prospect for the Word of God. You would have said he's a deeply spiritual young man, and you would have been correct. Now, after the funeral, they came to America's Test. I was there that week speaking. The sister, his mother, oh, she was broken. In the middle of a message, she would begin to shed tears. And she would have to leave. And just one day when she left, I thought, now I must get together with her and talk. And I thought she would be over in the Ross Memorial Building, and certainly this was right. And as I sat beside her and talked, she shed more tears, and we went over the words. And that night, she came to the meeting, and it was altogether different. She had a smile. And she said, Brother Stover, now I know why God brought us to Kessie after the funeral. She said, I've always been willing for the will of God, but I don't think I was ready for all of the ways of God. And she smiled. And Christian heart, you and I desire to pray in submission to God's. We want to pray out of an obedient soul. Whatsoever the Master saith, we must do, if we're to pray with power. But bear in mind that in praying for the will of God to be done in our lives, we must be ready for the ways of the Lord. Back in 1961, I believe, I had my back broken up. It was an accident. I ran into glass doors. They had no stripers on them. No knocker. Just ran into those doors. And you know, it wasn't quite like running into a football line. Some of those used to give, you see. But these doors didn't give. I flew backwards and hit the bottom of my spine, 3, 4, and 5, on the corner of a retaining wall. Drove over 1,000 miles to get home after that. And then came the suffering. You know, out of that experience, out of those days, and there were days, there were some nights, out of all that, I don't even know where it is anymore, but it was something that unveiled my heart. And the essence of it all was, that in the midst of this, I not only remembered the word of the Lord, and he not only remembered me, his servant, his child, but I found that the ways of God were ways of strengthening my own life and giving me a fresh view of the one who has all power, but who delights to spend that in my interest, by planning and purposing and molding and building my life according to the heavenly diagram. And the schematics of heaven are before our heavenly Father. And we know not what the day will bring, but we know this, that if we are to pray with power, we must not only adjust the light to the principles of the word and allow for nothing that God would forbid, but we must be ready to accept the ways of God for submission to the word includes a mission for the way that the great architect would build and frame our lives, both to pray and with those that glorify Him. Our Father and our God, bless we ask these words, any part of them, to any need, any life here this morning. Oh, our God, teach us how to be willing to wait. We get so much in a hurry, Lord. We just have to have things today. We can't wait for the ways of the Lord. God, forgive us. Forgive our impatience. Help us to wait and to be still and to watch our great and gracious God, Thou who art sovereign and possessing all wisdom and knowledge, Thou who dwellest in glory in heaven. O God, help us as we wait to worship and to be content with both Thy will and Thy ways through Jesus Christ.